contrary to popular belief, I did not write 1 Corinthians 7:2. Nope, not me. I didn't do it. In fact, I didn't write anything in 1 Corinthians. This was the Apostle Paul, and he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't think that the Scripture deals with one of the most vital topics to our existence today, which is sex, then you're sadly mistaken. Sex and marriage. At the forefront of Revelation, he creates them male and female. That's your identity. No wonder you think about sex a lot, because your identity is your sex, your gender. He creates them male and female. Guess what those are? They're sexes. They're genders. So males think about females, and females think about males. All is right with the world when this happens. And any theology or any doctrine or any stupid church rule that squelches this or pretends it doesn't exist is of the evil one. It is satanic. And I dare say this is why marriages are breaking up. This is why kids are screwed up, because nobody's speaking honestly about sex, because we're all embarrassed about it. It's a bad word. Sex is a bad word. I was once accused of putting sex in my books. Well, I hope so. I mean, it's a natural part of life. Why shouldn't I just drop a thing now and then about sex? In fact, you're not going to believe this. Some guy recently told me he was offended that at the beginning of my book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette, I talk about Lauren Bacall's legs, that I think Lauren Bacall has great legs. Can you believe that? I mean, the title of the book is How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. And this person who told me they were offended by me mentioning that I thought Lauren Bacall's legs were attractive, and I've only seen pictures of them. I've seen her in the movies, and I thought Lauren Bacall had nice legs. God made her legs. But the title of the book is How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. Now, smoking a cigarette, one could make the case, is actually a sin. It's artificial. God didn't create white paper filled with tobacco. People have to go to a hell of a lot of trouble to make a cigarette. You have to plant the tobacco, you have to harvest it, you have to grind it up, and then you have to make paper out of the bark of a tree, and you have to cut the paper into little tiny pieces, and then you have to take the little shredded tobacco things and put them in the paper, roll it up, and somehow glue the end of the paper, roll, and then you have to figure out how to make fire. You know how many thousands of years it took people to make fire? I don't either. Then you had to figure out how to light a match. Unless you wanted to light your cigarette on a campfire, which is highly dangerous. I don't recommend it. And so the trouble to make a cigarette, and yet there was no problem with that. And yet here is something God made directly from heaven, Lauren Bacall's legs, and I can't say they're great. What the heck? Oh, and then I don't know if you remember early in my books and early in the Zender talks, I talk about M&M's and coffee a lot. I mentioned M&M's and coffee, and yet I hear, for instance, somebody told me that they were offended that I used the word breast at the beginning of Flawed by Design. I talk about the incident of the prostitute who wept at Jesus' feet and, you know, poured the perfume on his feet, anointed him, and dabbed his feet with her hair. It's a beautiful picture. And because I'm a writer and because I take literary license, I imagine the scene that brought her there. The Scripture doesn't say what crisis she had come to in her life that brought her to the feet of Jesus. So as a writer, I thought, well, let me try to imagine this. She's sick of her occupation. She's a prostitute, and she's despairing of what God made her. God made her beautiful, and so she goes out into the dead of night. She's ready to kill herself, and she opens up her clothing and she shakes her breasts at God. It's like, this is what I am. This is what you've made me. Is this what you want? Is this what you like? And so many people, especially women, have written me and said, man, I wept when I read that. It's like, how did you get in touch? How did you get in touch with women so much? How are you perceptive enough to feel this pain? It's the pain of guilt. It's the guilt trip we've all been laden with, that somehow our sexuality is evil. I'm not saying the prostitute did that in a good way. I'm not saying that at all. She was a sinner, and yet she thought the fault was with God for making her a woman. And how many men have cursed God for making them a man? Why did you give me testosterone? Why did you give me this desire? And women, the same thing. And we're cursing God as if these body parts and these hormones, and in a man's case, the testosterone flowing through our veins, as if that's an accident. 5 quarts of testosterone flowing through your veins. You didn't put it there. God did, and yet you condemn yourself for it. Why do you do that? Because some women condemn you for it, or your mother condemned you for it, or the preacher condemned you for it, or somebody condemned you for being a man. And now you're fighting being a man. And how dare God give you eyes with which you could see women, whom he also made beautiful, especially Lauren Bacall's legs. And so early in my books, I wrote about M&Ms and coffee. And yet this mention of the word breast in Flawed by Design is brought up. Okay, well, why doesn't anybody say, Zender, how come you talk about coffee all the time? How come you talk about M&Ms all the time? No, it's always, Zender, why do you mention sex, quote, all the time, which is preposterous. I dare you, find the proportion in The First Idiot in Heaven of what I write about sex and what I write about other things, okay? And take that to any of my books. Take it to my audio files. Take it to my any of my writings, give me the proportion. Anyway, the only way somebody can make this accusation is if they think M&Ms are good and sex is bad. Coffee is good, sex is evil. And this is the predominant view of sex in our society, and especially in religious society. And you don't expect to find this in the ecclesia, in the body of Christ, and yet it's there anyway. We're ashamed, we're embarrassed, and anybody that talks about it is, ooh, you talked about legs. You talked about Lauren Bacall's legs. I'd much rather you talk about M&Ms and coffee, because I'm comfortable with M&Ms and coffee, but I'm very uncomfortable with Lauren Bacall's legs. Why are you uncomfortable with Lauren Bacall's legs? If you're uncomfortable with Lauren Bacall's legs, you have a sexual hang-up. Not me. I don't have the sexual hang-up. I'm normal. I feel like the most normal person in the room talking about this. This comes easily to me because it comes easily to God. Some people have said, I can't hand out your books because there's Lauren Bacall's legs and there's breasts in there. I can't even hand them out. My question is, how can you hand out the Bible then? God talks about sex 1,000 times more than I do. It's crazy what God says about sex. I'll talk about it with you sometime. Okay? How can you hand out the Bible to people then? There's far less mention of sex in my book than in God's book. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. Yet because of prostitutions, let each man have a wife for himself and each woman have her own husband. Because of prostitution. Paul gives prostitution, the threat of prostitution, the lure of prostitution, as the first reason to wed. Because of prostitutions, let every man have his own wife. It's kind of like Paul saying, well, you're going to crack eventually. Men are going to find it somewhere, so it's better to have your own wife, because a marriage is the best place for sexual relations. Grant you that. Grant you that. Of course, Paul begins this. We talked about this yesterday. He begins this section. It's ideal for a man not to be touching a woman. Yeah. Good luck with that. Some people can do it. Apparently, Paul had a gift. Going to be getting to that. Yet, because of prostitutions, and going to be getting to marriage, so don't worry. I'm going to get to marriage in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. For now, we're in verse 2. Yet, because of prostitutions, let each man have a wife for himself, and each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife her due, yet likewise the wife also to the husband. Husbands, wives, you're supposed to be giving it to each other. You don't have jurisdiction over your own bodies. If your husband needs it, give it to him. You don't have any excuse not to. And same the other way around. Husbands, if your wife needs sex, give it to her. If she needs it 3 times a day, give it to her. Guy's going like, I wish. Well, okay. Different strokes for different folks. And I mean strokes quite literally. So the wife does not have jurisdiction over her body, but the husband, yet likewise the husband has not the jurisdiction on his body, but the wife. This is very erotic here, that you don't have jurisdiction over your own body. It's one of the greatest things of marriage, is that your husband owns your body or your wife owns your body. That's sexy. That's the way marriage should be. There shouldn't be any of this, I'm so shy. Well, you know, I'm sorry you're shy. It's because you got hung up on sex because your mom and dad never told you about Lauren Bacall's legs or something. Something bad happened to you. And I'm not blaming you for that. I sound accusatory, and I don't mean to. I feel terrible. But don't rail against somebody for whom sex is normal and right and good and fun and fantastic. Okay. Now, this is an amazing thing in verse 5, and I'm going to get to this, and then my time's up already. Holy smokes. Do not deprive one another. Just don't. Don't deprive one another. Roll in it. You're supposed to be rolling in sex. Don't deprive one another, except sometime it should be by agreement for a period that you should have leisure for prayer. Leisure for prayer. It's like you should be having so much sex that you don't have time to pray. It's like, you know, sweetheart, baby doll, we haven't prayed in a while. Yeah, I know. Maybe we should take a break and go kneel by the couch and pray a little bit. That's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be so occupied by the sexual arts that you have no time to pray, and you have to say, time out, time out. All right, look, we haven't prayed in like 24 hours. Let's go pray. Lest Satan may be trying you because of your incontinence. A healthy man and a healthy woman should be like ready to blow. All right, that's healthy. That's healthy. And you, because you're on the brink of incontinence, you're on the brink of losing it. That's incontinence. That's the Zender version. Losing it. Because of your being on the brink of losing it, don't deprive yourself, lest Satan tempt you. That's my message for today, is husbands and wives, don't deprive yourself. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Paul's issue. Paul was a rather different individual. He didn't have the normal needs that we have, and I'm wondering how he dealt with it. Well, I'm going to tiptoe into this topic tomorrow of masturbation. It's a great topic, and I wonder how Paul dealt with his not touching a woman. I will walk boldly where few dare to tread. I'm Martin Zender. I have a feeling you're going to be with me tomorrow.